was meek and gentle. And he's the very one whom we weary people can come and find rest for our souls. And we thank you that his load is easy and his burden is light. He yokes himself together with us and he carries the load so that we're right in your sight because of him. And we do want to be like him. So teach us tonight from your word. The lesson, Lord, is simple, but it's the simple things that we need to do. So bring forth this fruit in our lives. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen. All righty, we're going to work our way through the word gentleness. If you pick up different translations, they don't always translate it the same. There are three different word groups in the New Testament for gentleness. That's all we're going to look at is the New Testament. And I'm not going to distinguish between the word groups. I'm going to take them as synonyms. And so you'll variously find translations like gentleness. In some places, it absolutely has to be translated humility. It cannot be translated gentleness. And sometimes you find it translated meekness, particularly in older King James. And sometimes you see it translated as consideration, and it's translated as consideration when in a grouping of words, there are so many words that are so similar, we have to come up with words to translate them by. But if you just think about gentleness, all of us have a particular idea of what that is, and I have an illustration to give of how this tends to happen, and I confess it happens far too often. So this girl, this is many years ago now, this girl came to me at the end of a meeting up here in front, and she stood in front of me, and she was 30-ish, I would say. And she said to me, "Well, Craig, I'm dating an unbeliever. What do you think about that?" And I thought a lot about it very quickly. So to impress my point, I reached out my hands and put them one on each shoulder, and as much as a blind man can, I looked her in the eyeball. And I said, I won't give you your name, we'll just call her Debbie for fun. I said, "Debbie, this is not something you should be doing. You need to stop immediately because you're going to gain an emotional attachment, and then it will be too late." And that was the end of that. She walked away. And then I heard that I didn't speak to her in love. Or to put it in our terminology for tonight, I was not gentle. So what does the word gentle mean? The Bible has a picture. If you would turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul is describing the way that he came into the Thessalonian, into the city of Thessalonica and talked to people and how he didn't take advantage of them. He was a man who had one mission, one goal, to teach them about Christ. And so he says in verse 7, "But we proved to be gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children." Well, now that's quite an image, isn't it? So when a mother is nursing, her attention is fully fixed on the baby, and it is tender and fully for the baby. She doesn't strike the baby. She doesn't shout at the baby. She speaks kindly to the baby. She coos with the baby. And Paul puts that picture forward where we're like a nursing mother tenderly caring for you. So that is an image that's straight out of the Bible. It's not the major word group for gentleness. It is the minor word group for gentleness. But there it is. That's what gentleness is. So then the question is, okay, is that the way we're always to be? And you notice there in the introduction I said, gentleness all the time? Well, is that really the way we should be? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul's coming to the end of a section that's very familiar to us. And he says in verse 17, "For this reason I have sent to you Timothy, who is my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, and he will remind you of all my ways which are in Christ, just as I teach everywhere in every church." Now, some have become arrogant. They're not following Paul's ways as he teaches everywhere in every church. Which, by the way, I just have to give you a little side caveat. The Lord's Supper is in 1 Corinthians and the open meeting. And he says four times in 1 Corinthians, "I teach these things everywhere in every church." Isn't that interesting? "As though I was not coming to you, but I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I shall find out not the words of those who are arrogant, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but in power." And the power is what? It's the argument of the section, the cross. It's in the cross. And then he says, "What do you desire? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness?" Now, I don't know what that makes you think about, but it makes me think that if Paul comes with a rod, he's not going to be gentle. Isn't that what you would think? And of course, everyone who gets a spanking doesn't say, "Thank you, Dad, that was really gentle." They might say it to their mom, but hopefully not to their dad. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Where Paul, in verse 5, quotes from Proverbs, "And you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives." And so right off the bat, I want to get rid of a misnomer. People are not supposed to be gentle all the time. When Jesus came into the city, as we're going to see in a minute, he's called gentle out of Zechariah, but when he goes into the temple, he gets out a scourge, and he overturns tables, and he drives beasts out and people out. It's not gentle, is it? So there is a time when gentleness is put aside. There's still a right way to do things. So we say, for example, of God, God is gracious. That's one of his attributes. But like I heard R.C. Sproul say on the radio one day, God is not infinitely gracious. Now, he's infinite, and one of his attributes is graciousness. But he's not gracious with everyone. Nor is he always gracious with us. Sometimes he gives us what we deserve. So it is with gentleness. Jesus is gentle. But there are times, like in the life of Paul, when Jesus says, "What do you want? Do you want the rod? Or do you want me to come with love and a spirit of gentleness?" So I take it there are times when gentleness is set aside. That doesn't mean become beasts and horrific, clearly. So I have under Roman numeral 2 a definition. And this definition, I didn't get it put in there, comes from the New American Commentary by Timothy George. I think it's a pretty good definition. This word connotes submissiveness and teachability towards God with, and it manifests itself in genuine humility and consideration towards others. So if we're going to see in a minute when it comes to the book of James, gentleness is put in connection with receiving God's word. So when we're gentle, it's going to be translated humility. When God speaks, we get in line and we listen. And James is going to emphasize, you don't just hear it, but you end up doing it. Don't be hearers of the word, but doers. And then this same quality, disposition of gentleness turns out to be a quality whereby we're considerate of other people. It is regrettable that the English word gentleness has come to have the popular connotation of wimpish weakness and non-assertive lack of vigor. As an expression of the fruit of the Spirit, gentleness is strength under control, power harnessed in loving service and respectful actions. One who is gentle in this sense will not attempt to push others around, or arrogantly impose one's own will on subordinates and peers. But gentleness is not incompatible with decisive action and firm conviction. It was, after all, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, who expelled the mercenaries from the temple with a scourge because of the obstinate defilement of his father's temple. So that's a pretty good definition. When somebody has this quality about them, this disposition about them, then when it comes to other people, they show consideration and respect and a kind of tenderness. When somebody has this quality about them, it doesn't mean they're a namby-pamby, but it's somebody who has strong convictions, but they harness them, they control them, they have strength of character about them, but that strength of character is under control. And I think one of the best ways to put it, because we're going to see it in the context of lots of situations where there's trouble. And in the context of trouble, somebody who has this quality about them doesn't take it personally. It's when we take things personally that we tend to flare up, get angry, defend ourselves, and get on someone's case. But somebody who's gentle in this sense has all of that under control. So I just have different ways for us to look at it. All I did was I took out the Greek lexicon, looked at all these words, and then categorized them. And first I thought we should look at the gentleness of Jesus. So if you would turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. And it's when Jesus has done some healing on the Sabbath, and in verse 14 it says, but when the Pharisees heard it, they said, I'm in the wrong place. I don't want that. Yeah, here we go. But the Pharisees went out and counseled together against him as to how they might destroy him. But Jesus, aware of this, withdrew from there, and many followed him, and he healed them all. And he warned them not to make him known, in order that what was spoken by Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the street. A battered reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not extinguish, until he leads justice to victory, and in his name the Gentiles will hope. Well, of course, the word Gentile is not mentioned here at all, but it's a statement of fulfillment from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 42, about Jesus and how he's conducting his ministry. And here he is in the middle of a contention, and he departs, and he's kind to people. He heals them, and he tells them not to tell anyone because he is not looking to take people on. Instead, his ministry is going to be largely characterized by having compassion on people like a bruised, battered reed that can easily fall over, or like a smoldering wick that can be extinguished. When Jesus finds these people, he's going to have consideration for them and help them. And of course, it's a reference to the cross. So here's a picture of Jesus in his gentleness, taken from the book of Isaiah. And then just back in chapter 11, very familiar to us, if I can find it here. Chapter 11, verse 28. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. And so here's a picture of Jesus yoking himself together with us like two oxen are yoked to a cart. And he is pulling so the load does not rest upon us. And this is the connotation of gentleness. He's showing us consideration. Now turn to Matthew chapter 21. And in Matthew chapter 21, again, a fulfillment of something from the Old Testament, this time from Zechariah. Verse 5, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted upon a donkey, even upon a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. And so there it is, out of the book of Zechariah, that Jesus has the character of being gentle, and he's coming into town. Of course, he's going to be rejected, but he's coming into town as king, but not king on a steed, king on a colt. And he's going to go into the temple. And in the temple, he doesn't look very gentle. He gets out a scourge. And in our terminology, he cleanses the temple. So we just see then that when it comes to what belongs to us from the fruit of the Spirit, what should characterize us, this is the very thing that characterized Christ. But when we look at Christ's life, there are times that he does not appear to be gentle. Imagine being Peter, and there you are, standing there talking to Christ, and you think you have this great revelation when Jesus says he's going to go up to Jerusalem and die. And you say, well, Lord, that's never going to happen to you. And he turns on you and says, get behind me, Satan. Now, I'm sure Jesus didn't scream and shout it. I'm sure he said it in what we would call a civil manner. But nevertheless, if you heard that kind of word, would you say, wow, he's really gentle? Of course not. And so I'm just wanting you to see that gentleness is a fruit of the Spirit. It has to do with how we receive God, and it has to do with how we relate to other people. But there are times when we may not look exactly gentle. And that time would be when we're telling somebody something they don't want to hear. Of course, we say it, we hopefully say it in the right tone of voice. We hopefully say it with the right kind of preface to it. We hopefully are not thinking of ourselves and only of them and what their best interest is. But Proverbs reminds us that not very many people take reproof and rebuke well. And I'm sure Peter was a bit blown away. Get behind me, Satan? But that's what Jesus did. And I'm sure the disciples were a little awestruck as they watched Jesus cleansing the temple. But that's what he did. We're called to gentleness. And so in Roman numeral 4, I say the call to gentleness. And gentleness in the body, number 1. Gentleness towards others, number 2. And gentleness among the elders. So if you would turn to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 says, "And so, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." And then I want us to look at that a second time from Ephesians chapter 4, if you could turn there. Ephesians chapter 4, because it is so highly pronounced in Ephesians that in chapters 1 through 3, you have this theological section beginning in chapter 1 and verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's given to us every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And then along comes this great long sentence of all that God has done in choosing us and in redeeming us and in sealing us in the Holy Spirit. And when Paul gets to the end of this theological section and he moves in, as he does in so many of his epistles, into what we call application, the first thing out of the chute, verse 1 of chapter 4. "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." So right out of the chute, the first application as new creations in Christ, this is how we are to be with one another. And one of those qualities, character traits, dispositions is to be gentle. It is the thing, like I've said before, in my 27 years here that we've wrestled with the most. And if you just look at these qualities, we've looked at some of them in terms of the fruit of the Spirit, but if you just lump them together, They're all quite similar. It would seem that if you have one, you probably have the other. It's just like the fruit of the Spirit, as commentators mention. It's not like the fruit of the Spirit we can pick and choose and we get 1 out of 9 or 2 out of 9 or 4 out of 9. The whole point is that they're a cluster. They all belong together. They all should belong to us. And here Paul is saying this is what we ought to look like. Then towards outsiders. Whoops. Hope I don't need that one again. Towards outsiders, turn to Titus chapter 3. Verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed, to malign no one, to be uncontentious, gentle, showing every consideration for all men. Okay, so right there are three words that sometimes are all translated gentle. The word translated gentle here is one we've seen elsewhere, but it's not the main word group. The one that's written as the fruit of the Spirit is showing every consideration for all men. It's not translated gentle, it's translated showing consideration for all men. For we also were once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our lives in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. But when the kindness of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And so this quality that belongs, first of all, in the church, because we start inside, also is a quality that belongs as we interface with unbelievers, so that we have a certain disposition towards them. We're not angry, hostile towards them. Instead, we're the kind of people who control ourselves, and we speak to them with kindness, and we don't take their opposition personally. We know that we're Christians and they're going to be against us because we're Christians. Their opposition is against the Lord. And so our goal is to win them by our behavior, our winsome behavior and our conduct, showing them every consideration, remembering, we used to be just like them, but now we've been transformed. So Paul reminds us to be gentle, showing every consideration for lost people. It just irritates me that in our opposition to what's happening in our country, we can lay this aside and put up just ugly signs and vehement, awful things. I think we should speak out boldly, but we ought to do it with respect. That's what gentleness includes, showing respect. Then with respect to the elders, if you would turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we find in verse 2, an overseer then must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to wine, or pugnacious, that means combative, but gentle, uncontentious, free from the love of money. So, since elders stand in front of the congregation and the congregation is called to certain qualities through the scriptures, then the elders ought to be the kind of men, well, they're not perfect, they do make mistakes and so forth, but these things should be character traits of their lives. And so that's Roman numeral 4. Roman numeral 5, gentleness and correction. We won't look at gentleness and church discipline because I'm taking that from 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and we looked at it. What do you want me to do? Do you want me to come with a rod or with love in a spirit of gentleness? And I just wanted to show that because when people are disciplined, even ultimately when a church brings discipline on somebody, of course discipline is brought because they're stubborn and rebellious and will not line themselves up with the Word of God, and they think they're right, or even if they think they're not right, they refuse to do the right thing. And so when they are corrected by people, they're not going to feel like they're treated gently. And as I said, I think it was last week maybe, when those sorts of things happen, then people come up with ad hominem arguments. And they take the focus on what is said to the person who said it or how they think they said it, rather than the content of what is said. And that's a good reminder to us all. You know, when somebody comes to tell us something that we really don't want to hear, we should remind ourselves, okay, the real issue is not how did they say it. Okay, maybe they were mean. Is that the real issue? No. And the real issue isn't, well, they have problems in their lives too. That's the first thing we go to. How can you say that to me when you act like this? That's not the real issue either. The real issue is when somebody comes and talks to us, is what they're saying true? And if it's true, no matter who they are, what kind of problems they have, and no matter how they said it, it's a message to me from the Lord. So B, gentleness for a brother who has been caught in sin. And if you would turn to Galatians, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1. Brethren, even if any man is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, and I might change the translation. It's not suggesting that some Christian should not do this, whether you should decide, well, am I spiritual enough to do this or not? That's not the point. You who are of the Spirit, that's the point of Galatians. Didn't you receive the Spirit by faith? We're of the Spirit. So he's talking to all of us. You who are of the Spirit, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to himself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. And so here's the idea that we come across a brother who has... The sense here is he's almost stumbled into sin. It's not something he's been planning and conniving for or going down the wrong road for a long time. He's a brother, and he has stumbled into sin, and we come to know about it, and so we come alongside of him, and we're not arrogant, we're humble. We're not mean, we're compassionate. And we step up and we say, brother, you've erred here. How can I help you get out of this? That's the sense here. And the word restore, I'm sure as you know, because you've heard it before, is the idea of mending a broken leg. So we come alongside and we act like a doctor, helping them to mend. The next one, I like this one, gentleness for squabbling women. Nobody laughed. It comes from Philippians chapter 4, where Euodia and Syntyche are urged by Paul to live in harmony with one another. And the word harmony is the word that means to have the same kind of thinking, which is the message of the book of Philippians. Have this attitude, this thinking in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus. And of course, if we had such an attitude, if everyone had that attitude, then we wouldn't have conflicts, because we'd be saying, okay, I need to serve that person, not fight with that person. Have this attitude in yourselves. And then he calls the church to help them. And then he says, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. And then he says, show your forbearing spirit to all men. And that's the word gentleness. Show your forbearing spirit to all men, because the Lord is at hand. And I take it then, this is in the context of this squabble. And what happens when there's a squabble in the church? Tell us, what happens? People take sides. And Paul's saying, don't take sides. Help these two women to come together and be gentle. But here it's translated forbear in the sense of learning how to put up with each other. Okay, gentleness and elder correction. And we have to turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm in chapter 3. Okay, 2 Timothy 2, and somehow I'm not coming up with it. Ah, okay, here we go. 2 Timothy 2, verse 23. And I'm in 1 Timothy. No wonder it didn't look right. John, you want to read it? 2 Timothy 2, 23 through 26. Okay, so two words there are the word gentle in verse 24 and 25 in John's translation. The first one was translated gentle. The second was translated humility. If you have the New American Standard, the first one's translated kind, and the second one's translated gentle. It's this whole group of synonyms. And so elders are not supposed to be quarrelsome. They sit down with somebody who's in opposition. What are they in opposition to? They're in opposition ultimately to the Lord and to his truth. They may be in opposition to the church. They may have a conflict within the church. But the point is that they're refusing to accept truth or refusing to do the right thing. And when elders sit down with them, they're not to get in an argument with them. They're not to quarrel. Instead, they're supposed to correct them in humility. That is, well, we're not better than you. We're here to serve you. And to correct them with kindness or gentleness so it's not combative, it's not mean. And the goal is to see them come to repentance. And notice how it's put there. Maybe the Lord will grant them repentance so that they might come out of the snare of the devil by which he's held them all this time to do their will. So gentleness here applies to elders as well as other people. Okay, gentleness in witnessing. And for this, we need to go to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 3. Don't worry, I'm done with that one. 1 Peter chapter 3. I like that communion table. It's wider, see. Chapter 3, verse 15. And who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is right? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify Christ as Lord in your heart, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account of the hope that is within you, yet with gentleness and reverence, or gentleness and fear. And so here's the idea that we're talking to somebody about Christ, or they come to us because they've been watching us. How can you live like this? And our talk with them is not a debate. We're just giving a proclamation. That's what the gospel is. That's what evangelism is. It's a proclamation. It's not a debate. And so we tell them, here's why I have this hope within me. But we treat them with respect. We don't say to them, you ignorant person. We treat them with respect, and we show, the word's translated reverence. It's the word fear. I take it we show them respect as we talk to them with gentleness. And then in the same book, just back up in the beginning of chapter 3, 1 Peter 3, we find this word gentle in connection with a wife who has a disobedient husband. And so the sense is, how is a wife going to correct her husband? So he says, up in verse 1, in the same way you wives, looking back to how Christ lived, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste behavior in fear. And let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair and putting on jewelry and putting on clothes, dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable quality of a gentle and a quiet spirit. For this is precious in the sight of God. This is what finds value. The word precious is the word from which we get the word money. This is valuable to God, a gentle and a quiet spirit. Now, we're talking about somebody who is a subordinate. She must be submissive to her husband, but her husband's not a very good husband. He's disobedient to the word. So how does she correct him? Well, in our culture, the way you go about that is you become a battle axe, and you ride his case, and you let him know until you get it the way you want it. Of course, it doesn't really work, does it? But in Scripture, the way a person does that, a way a woman does it, is she lets her inner nature speak. So she has the right conduct towards him. She's submissive towards him. It doesn't mean that she never opens her mouth or never corrects him, but she's not preachy. Instead, she has this kind of inner nature. She's quiet, which has nothing to do with her speech. It has to do with being at peace, calm, tranquil. Why? Because the Lord's in charge. She's quiet and she's gentle, so she doesn't treat her husband with hostility. She doesn't allow thoughts to run through her mind. Okay, if I could only. Instead, she's gentle towards him. And so it gives us an illustration in verses 5 and 6. For in this way, in the former times, the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves with these imperishable qualities, being submissive to their own husbands. In the same way, Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you have become her children if you do what is right without being frightened by any fear. And the thing that always we think about as Christians, okay, if I live that way, what's going to happen? And Sarah, if you just think about her life, she lived that way and she got put in some very awkward positions because she was submissive to her own husband. And in each case, the Lord bailed her out. So the wife is called to be gentle and in this way correcting her husband. Respecting those who lack gentleness. It's right here again in 1 Peter chapter 2. Just look up to verse 18. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Of course, we're not quite in that situation today because a person who was a servant of this sort was a person who was brought to the house and he lived at the house and he didn't have the right to go free, or she. They couldn't just leave. But it wasn't like we think of slavery in the South either. Even doctors could be this kind of servants. But he or she had to obey the master, and some masters weren't very kind. They weren't gentle. They were unreasonable. The word unreasonable here is the word from which we get scoliosis, the curvature of the spine. They're a pain. They don't treat you with respect. They ask unreasonable things. And he says, well, how do you deal with such a person who lacks gentleness? You show them respect. Well, that would be true in the church also, wouldn't it then? And so if people speak to us in ways that we don't like, that doesn't seem very gentle to us, our first reaction is to be gruff towards them or to go talk to somebody else about them instead of just listening to them and then treating them with respect. It might be surprising what would happen if we could do that. Receiving God's word with humility. And this is too familiar to all of us. Turn to James chapter 1. Verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility, we receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls, but prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving themselves. So here it is. This is the word we've been looking at, the word gentle, but here it's translated humility. And so it's somebody who looks to Christ and to the Father and to the Spirit, and when they speak, they say, I'm subordinate to them, and God's talking now, so I better listen, and what he says is what I need to do, receive with humility. And instead, in the church today, not McKinney Bible Church, but I'm talking about the church in general, when the word is taught, we resist it, we rationalize it, we say it couldn't mean that, instead of simply bowing before it. And that's precisely what James is talking about. The person who has this quality, and notice it was in the definition of Timothy George, is one who is submissive and teachable when it comes to God's word. That's what gentleness is. That's not what we tend to think of gentleness, is it? But there it is. There's no disputing it. And then finally, gentleness finds divine acceptance. And that comes from Matthew chapter 5, part of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Now think about it. In the definition that Timothy George gave us, he told us that it's strength under control, it's power harnessed. And so we're not talking about wimpy little people. We're talking about people who say, okay, I'm here to serve the king, and I need to go about this in the most considerate way towards people, where I become a servant to them, and I speak to them with respect. I show them respect when I'm treated wrongly, because my whole goal is for them to see Christ. And Jesus says, such people like that inherit the earth. As you understand, the Beatitudes are not to be broken down into little elements where we can have one or the other. Again, they're all the aspect of what it means to be a Christian. And when it says blessed, it doesn't really mean happy, although that would probably be true, but instead it means we're approved, we're accepted by God. So we need to be gentle people. Turn, if you would, then to James chapter 3. James chapter 3 and verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. Here's our word. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. for where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So just notice the context. This kind of wisdom that's from above is to be gentle. If we have this kind of wisdom, we show it by our good behavior in gentleness. And notice with this kind of wisdom, where there is gentleness and reasonableness and all of that good stuff, there's peace. That is, those people want peace. And they strive to bring about peace. Which sends us back to Ephesians chapter 4, sends us back to Colossians chapter 3. Right out of the chute, Paul talks to the body of Christ, and he says, okay, walk worthy of the calling with which you've been called. And what's he talk about? Humility, gentleness, patience, forbearance, learning how to put up with one another. We all come different, and we rub each other wrong sometimes, but when we get to know each other's natures, we say, oh, that's just John. Oh, that's just Dave. Oh, that's Craig. Craig's always like that. Don't worry about it. So that we move forward. And then when we have a complaint against each other, we go to the person, we tell them, and forgiveness transpires. All of that falls under this realm of gentleness. And so here are the words it's translated: meek, gentle, humble, considerate. Those are the four word groups you will find in the Bible to translate the three different words, word groupings in Greek. Does anyone have any questions? I think most of us know when we're not considerate of people. Most of us know when we're not being humble. Most of us know when we're not kind. And so we can say, wait a minute. What I need here is gentleness. I don't know if it ever happens to you, but I was kind of growly today. I woke up growly. I don't know why. I can't figure it out. So we were off down, and the elders were having lunch, and I said to Gary Boatman, watch out, I'm surly today. And finally it passed. But, you know, the result of it was, when my wife said something to me, I answered her gruffly, not gently. We all know when we're being gentle. And remember, it doesn't mean wimpy. It doesn't even mean that you can't talk to someone with sternness. That happens. People need sternness. Like Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. But it means that we're humble, looking for their best. We're not doing it for ourselves. That's gentleness. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, make this a part of my life. I know when it comes to all the fruits of the Spirit, all nine that are listed, and I'm sure there are so many more, that I need to grow in all of them. And so I pray for myself and my friends here, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, and we know you love us, Father. We want to look like the beloved one. This is my chosen one, my beloved one, with whom my soul is well pleased. That's what we want to be, like Jesus. And so may your Spirit work in us producing these fruits. And may we heed the command that Paul gives us. I say, walk around in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Because the flesh is against the Spirit, and the Spirit is against the flesh. The two are contrary to one another, so you can't do what you want to. And we see that struggle within ourselves. So help us to get up in the morning and set our minds on what the Spirit wants. Walk around in the Spirit so that what comes from our life during the day is fruit born by the Spirit who lives in us. We pray this for Christ's sake.